Good morning and welcome to A Vision to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, September 22nd, 2023, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 155, paragraph 3, which begins with being intrigued, however, and ends with that God might give him mastery. Today's readers are Davalyn E. for the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. for the 12 Traditions. Lorraine N. will read and comment on our text. Chanel P. will read page 164, and Julie E. B. is here to cover any needs that we have. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 20666, and the reference number for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 20668. And I'm just double checking to confirm that. I'm pretty sure that's right. Yep, 20668. DOA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Davalyn E. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Hi, Davalyn. Can you please read the 12 steps of OA for us? I want to unmute. Julie E.B., perhaps you can jump in. Maybe Davalyn's having some trouble getting on the line. Oh, thank you, Davalyn.
My apologies. I was out in the garden and my phone cut off. Good morning. This is Davalyn E. My apologies for my tardiness. I am a compulsive overeater living joyfully and gratefully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Davalyn E. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Good morning, everyone.
This is Rhonda R. in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 155, paragraph 3, and I will ask Lorraine N. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning, Elaine, and thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lorraine N., recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. Being intrigued, however, he invited our friend to his home. Sometime later, and just as he thought he was getting control of his liquor situation, he went on a roaring bender. For him, this was the spree that ended all sprees. He saw that he would have to face his problems squarely, that God might give him mastery. Excuse me. This refers to Bob and Bill's first meeting, which always just amazes me that that's how this whole thing got started. You know, from Bill in the hotel lobby deciding to make a phone call to their meeting together. And here we are with a network all over the world. Just amazing. So that word intrigued, you know, when I first was introduced to visions and the very first time I called into this line and I heard the phenomenal recovery on this line, and I had been around OA for 40 years or so, and I never, ever heard and then saw such recovery because I got to meet a lot of people at the convention and different things. So that intrigued me, man. I wanted to hear more when I first called in, and it still intrigues me. Yeah, the spree that ended all sprees for me was about a week before I came to Visions. And not that I haven't had a few sprees in the last few years, but nothing like that night brought me to my knees. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I could not do this on my own, that I had to find a power greater than myself. And that's exactly what's happened since I've been studying this book. You know, I don't have mastery over my life, but I have a master of the universe that I turn to now. And my life is not a bed of roses. I mean, you know, I've changed. My life situation's changed somewhat, but, you know, I still have moments like yesterday. I had a dust up with the apartment manager over an issue, an ongoing issue. And, you know, my approach to her was not very kind. So, you know, I now have to make amends. And so I learn as I go. And that's why I'm on this line every day. I need the guidelines in this book desperately. And I'm going to pass with that and listen to everyone else's share. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you very much, Lorraine, and great start. So though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, please press star 1 to unmute if you'd like to comment on page 155, paragraph 3.
This is Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M.
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M.
Jody E.
Jody E. Anyone else? Well, I'm sure these shares will inspire more shares. Okay, we've got Sherry H.M., Janice P.M., and Jody E. Please share with us, Sherry. And if you're not Sherry, please press star 1 to meet your phone. I mean, start. Yes, star 1.
Good morning, this is Sherry H.M. from Washington State. Oh, this is so powerful because he had the last roaring bender. And, you know, it just reminds me that of how I was with food. I was just completely out of control, especially with my sugar, but other foods as well. And, you know, I just would diet and diet and diet and diet. And then, you know, I would just get on that shame train and just be so ashamed and like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I do this, you know? And one time in grad school, we'd been studying addictions. And I just was in this big long line to get, you know, my latte of choice, which was loaded with sugar. Oh, and also, sorry, my other alarm is going off. Anyway, I was in this line and I was praying, oh God, I'm just so glad that I don't have an addiction. Oh, it's just so hard. My heart breaks for those people. And my God tells me, oh, Sherry, what about this latte thing going on? And I'm like, oh my gosh, can that actually be a thing? Who knew that could even be a thing? So this program for 9 years has freed me, and I didn't think I would get better. I thought, oh yeah, other people can get better, and I do not miss the sugar. And so only when I have the RIDS, restless, irritable, and discontent, and I'm in emotional buildup, that is when you know, I need to pick up the phone and talk to God. So anyway, it's just great to have you all here, and I love you guys. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. Janice P.M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Jody E.
Well, thank you so much, Elaine B. This is Janice P.M., gratefully recovered in the state of Massachusetts. What a story. Bill is teaching me, Bill and Bob. Yeah, this was me. I was the master of my fate, I wanted to control. I was a controller. Certainly, my life was not unmanageable, so I thought. like Bob, he went to the Oxford group, which was a religious group, and he could not understand what was his problem. He thought his problem was drinking. Like I thought my problem was food. Just give me the right food plan, and I will be able to conquer this. Well, I forgot. I didn't know. Even when I knew, I forget. But I didn't know that I had a grave nature. And it wasn't just the eating. It was a spiritual malady, which means I need a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. Well, I say spiritual. Well, I was religious. I had a God in my life. You know, yeah, we may have a God in our life and understand him a certain way, but I thought he was just supposed to, you know, sprinkle me and I will be okay. But, you know, I had to do some work. Now, like Bob, he really didn't know the grave nature until he met Bill. And Bill told him, you know, you have an allergy. But, you know, the allergy can only be conquered by a spiritual condition, a spiritual solution, because the main problem is not only the allergy, it is the mental twist. So in my mind, like Bob, oh, I know, someday, this is my thinking, someday, somehow, I'll conquer this. I know I can because I can do this, I can do that, but I didn't know I was beyond human aid. Now, I'm a human being, so I'm beyond my own aid. Is that true? I'm beyond your aid because you're human in the fellowship, and the fellowship helps me tremendously. God works through the fellowship. I had to surrender, give up to all that I thought, and got a God. The first step tells me I'm powerless. So I thought, well, yeah, no, I can still do it. But see, if I don't have that, I won't get a, I won't go and seek a power. And that was my problem. But that was not my only problem. My God, my power of understanding, gave me these 12 steps. But I then was a willful child for years. Oh, I'll do this and I'll do that, but I won't do the amends, like Bob. Oh,
that's
no.
A reminder.
Thank you, honey. What will they think of me? He had so much pride and so much fear. And that's what we have to get out of, is our ego, no God relationship. And he's the master. And that was the Master League solution. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Janice P. Jody E. is up next, and then we'll take another lineup of people who'd like to share on page 155, paragraph 3. Please share with us, Jody E.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., very gratefully recovered in California. So, Dr. Bob, being intrigued, he invited Bill to his home. And then, after hearing what Bill had to say to him, he went on a bender. Well, I've certainly done that too many times in my recovery. I've gone on benders. And I guess each bender convinced me a little bit more that I am a real compulsive overeater, and that I'm powerless over food, and that I need this program. It takes what it takes to convince me of that. Why would I turn my will and my life over to the care of something I don't fully understand if I didn't have to, if I wasn't beaten down? So God uses food to beat me down. God used alcohol to beat Dr. Bob and Bill down. We all seem to have our drugs of choice, and for me, it's food. So I hope that I don't need to have another bender. I really truly hope that I don't need to do that again. I know I'm a real compulsive overeater, and I know that I have to face my problems squarely today so that God might give me mastery.
And today, with the food in its place, other problems present themselves, right? My defects of character don't magically go away. I have to face them every day. I have to talk about them with other recovered people when I do my 10th steps. And I have to act as if they've been removed and do the things that are difficult for me to do. And that is the trudging, this road of happy destiny. It's not always easy. It's not easy to change and to become a more mature, responsible person. But one day at a time, as long as I stay abstinent and keep working these 12 steps, I can and do change. And that is very exciting and very satisfying. That is the substitute for the food that God gives me when I squarely face my problems. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very, very much, Jody E. So, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. And if you would like to comment on page 55, paragraph 3, and haven't shared in the last couple of days, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Vicky T.
Elizabeth.
Vicky T. Elizabeth.
Annabelle Z.
Barbara E., New Jersey.
Annabelle Z. Barbara E. Okay, I've got Vicky T., Elizabeth, didn't get your last initial, Annabelle Z., Barbara E., and anybody else want to get in this lineup? Star 1 to unmute. Okay.
Roz G.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, we've got Vicky T., Elizabeth, didn't get the first initial of your last name, Annabelle Z., Barbara E., and Roz G. Please share with us, Vicky T., you'll be followed by, who was that?
Agnes A.
Agnes A. Okay, lovely. Okay, Vicky T., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Elizabeth.
Hi, thank you so much. Doing a great job, moderator. this is Vicky T. I'm in Florida, recovered, grateful, thank you. Yeah, my last bender, I remember it very well, like so vivid. And I just, it just keeps staying in my mind, like just kind of flashing lights. And I guess that's a good thing in a way. It's disturbing, but I don't want to go back there. The other thing that really spoke to me today was, you know, God giving me giving me mastery, because, you know, my way of life normally, like without programs, is for me to solve all my problems and for me to be the master of my destiny and the master of all trades and all that stuff. And when things are going really well, it seems easier for me to put God in charge. Yeah, God's in charge. Everything's great. Things are good. When things get real challenging is when I remember intellectually, but that distance between the head and the heart is sometimes a little longer than I would like it to be. And an example is I got COVID the second time. And it's not deathly, you know, it's for me. The ones that I had were not like life threatening, but they were challenging, and I lost my sense of taste. And you know, you don't know what you have until it's gone. You know, so I love my meals. I mean, there's nothing wrong with my food. It's abstinent, but I tend to like what I eat. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, I enjoy my food, but it's, when it's over, it's done, and then there's another meal coming, and whatever. And not being able to taste anything, I thought to myself, wow, that would be really awful and depressing. Like not being able to see color, it's almost the same kind of thing, you know, that richness, losing that richness of life. And I asked a friend of mine, a fellow of mine, what do I do about the fear? Because some people get long COVID, you know, it's possible, you know, and I could maybe never get my case back. And she said, well, the answer to any fear is to trust and rely on God. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then somebody else said, oh, I don't worry about A, B, or C, because if I can't control something, I don't worry about it. I was like, oh, wow, okay. That would be a really great way to live, you know? So my goal in saying all this is that I want to use this opportunity to get closer to God for when things get challenging and lifey, as people say. And P.S., the end of the story is I got my case back. So it's a good ending. Thank you for the reminder. Okay. Thanks. I'll pass now. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. Okay, Elizabeth, if we could have the first initial of your last name before you share, and you'll be followed by Annabelle Z. Please share with us, Elizabeth. Star one to unmute.
Sorry about that. Elizabeth C., and I'm in Los Angeles area, compulsive overeater. I'm reading the paragraph before and then being intrigued, because the intrigue has to do with like something else outside of himself coming in and helping him master his life so that he doesn't have to go through the fear of exposing himself. I like to hide in my food, right? I can isolate and hide. And then when it gets so bad that I start to feel shameful, like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm like come out of the theater with popcorn. Oh, I can't mention food. Look like a snowman, you know, or something like that. And it's like, who would ever want this? But the truth is that this compulsion is like we all suffer from it. And it's like, what's the underlying disease here? You know, how is like food getting in between my higher power, myself, and other people? And it almost seems like the paragraph before and being intrigued, it's like that is the, like the steps that are unfolding here, because the worry and anxiety over what other people are going to say, and then the livelihood, which is very important to have their livelihood so that they could take care of their families and to expose themselves of drinking to the family, and friends, to be well received anyway is a miracle, I think, in itself. The hiding is the real bad thing here. But being intrigued, just that like little bit of sunlight of the spirit coming through obviously was a spiritual experience. And these were very, very smart men. They had a lot of position in society, and they did it. And I just wonder why I do the things that I do when they're so... they just don't amount to much, you know? And obviously it has to do with a lot of fear that I'm not making the changes I need to make, which I'm going to do. I'm doing those things because it's like empty for me. I'm just feeding an anxiety that doesn't ever go away, and it's something much deeper. And so I enjoy being here. Thanks for being here. And that's it. I pass.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth C. Annabelle Z, you are up next, and you'll be followed by Barbara E. Please share with us, Annabelle.
Thank you so much, moderator. My name is Annabelle Z from Washington State. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm really grateful. It's a privilege to be on this line this morning. And thank you for the reader for getting us started. And also the person right before me said exactly what I was really hit me today, what I was going to share about, and that is that he would have to face his problem squarely, that God might give him mastery. And so this is just like the epitome of the program for me, is that I have to face my problem. My problem is that I have no power. And facing something squarely, I mean, I guess to me, it's just like, it's a box. There's nothing out anywhere else. I have to do this. This is my problem. I'm a compulsive overeater. And there's nothing I can do to change that. And it's by facing that, that then that first step, which I am now back in again, is really seeing my powerlessness, that I can then even look that I need a power outside of myself, even really understand that I need God for everything. I've had a strong faith in God for a long time now. I had a faith in God before I joined the actual religious body faith that I have now. I had a God in program from the other program. But I came to OA when I was in my late 20s, and like 25, 30 years ago. And I thought, these people, you know, all I need to do is just work a stronger fourth step. Like, I just got to do this program. And I really am like, I know this program. And I really was like, I've mastered this program. At the time I had, I don't know, like 8 years or something in the program. I've mastered this program. And today this just absolutely hit me that the phrase that God might give him mastery says that all of the power, you know, like mastery, I always like to look words up. And mastery being given the, what's the one word? It's like the state of being a master or power of command or control or having expert skill or knowledge. And that state of being, I am not in control, but that power of being of command comes from God. And I can't get that mastery. I can't get that power from anywhere else but God. And the steps, you know, facing my problems squarely, doing the steps, get me to that God. One of the steps that, I mean, I've done the steps many, many times, but the step that I keep missing is the pure, total, consistent honesty with another person. And, you know, I think that this, I had a relapse in August. This is day 9, I think, today. And I am not rigorously honest with myself and God and another human being. And there's probably even a deeper depth of honesty that I'm still in denial from. And so thank God for this program. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much, Annabelle Z. Okay, we have Barbara E. up next, followed by Roz G. Please share with us, Barbara.
Oh, good morning, good afternoon, my family. So good to be here. Thank you for your loving service, a moderator. I just wanted to say I am a grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. I don't like to say recovered because each day is a new day. And I know on my recovery journey, I've made a lot of detours. I've taken a lot of time on the rumble strip on the highway, veering into someone's lane. I've had accidents. I've had crashes. But I always continued on the journey. I know people say, keep coming back. For me, it's never leave, never leave. So there was a parable that I heard once about a starving donkey. And the starving donkey was before two equally placed parcels of hay. And he didn't know which one to go to, the one on the left, equally big, or the one on the right. So he starved. And I don't want to be like that starving donkey. I have to pray to the higher power I don't believe in, I don't know is there, but I know for sure it isn't me. I need the voices of recovery. I need my OA family because I really believe that if I put my hand in yours, together we can do better. We can be better. So every morning when I get up and I'm feeling depressed and I'm shooting on myself, shooting, not the I word, shooting, I should have done this, I should have done that, why did I do that? I have to say to myself, from my higher power, I am enough, I do enough, I have enough. And then I ask this higher power that isn't me two questions. What do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? Because I've heard about that three-legged stool, spiritual, emotional, and physical. My first OA sponsor said, Barbara, you've managed to climb up that physical leg of the stool, but your spiritual and emotional stool is lacking. Harsh words, but so true, because without those two other legs, my stool was very wobbly, and soon a pebble started to fall down, and then it was a rock, and pretty soon it was a boulder. So I never can leave this program. I always have to say, because I do find love and peace and understanding in these rooms. So when I hear the words, welcome home, may we will accept you and may we offer you a home. I believe it because I know with you, thank you. I know with all, 169 of you, I have no idea. I know the machine told me that. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful, sunshiny Friday. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. Ross G., you're up next, followed by Agnes A.
Okay, thank you, Elaine, for your moderating, and thanks for everybody's share. And when I stand on the scale, when I stand on the weight scale, and I look down at the number to see how much I weigh, I'm looking at my progress squarely. I don't like the scale, but it tells me the truth. And as was shared earlier, you know, looking at when I'm in acceptance. Okay, so I'm a compulsive overeater. Okay, for years I didn't want to accept that. I just thought I had a weight problem, and all the diets I tried never worked. And so when I admitted that I was a compulsive overeater, I could do something about it. Okay, this is the truth. Now what do I do about it? I was in a very, very difficult marriage. And when I finally realized that my husband was never going to try to ever get better with my prodding, I had to do something about it. And so with a lot of prayer and a lot of pain and agony and all of that, I left. I did something about it, and he never got better, and he died. Just to, you know, in everything that I do, I have to look at reality. I really like this guy, but he doesn't feel the same way about me. So I need to move on instead of being in fantasy land about what I could do to get him. I'm not saying I'm doing that now, but I'm just giving examples of looking at problems squarely. Or issues. And then the cool part about this is that God does the work. Do I have to do the work? Of course, I have to work hand in hand with God. But when I do what the big book tells me, when I do the exact directions, I do everything that that book tells me to do. I follow the doctor's opinion. I follow the morning and evening instructions. I pause throughout the day. I work with other compulsive overeaters and take them through the book. I help. I follow a food plan. I use a measure. You know, I measure the food. I weigh myself. All these things bring me to recovery. And God says, okay, Roz, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Give me the results of this, and I'll give you a life beyond your wildest dreams. And pretty much that's my life today. I have a fabulous life. There's things I still want, but I bet you every single one of you have the same testimony. And so I'm just going to keep on trudging this path and looking at my weight, looking at my relationship status, my bills, my work, everything squarely so that I can take the correct action. And thank you, Elaine. I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Okay, Agnes A. is up next, and after that, we will take another lineup on page 155, paragraph 3. That's what we're commenting on. So please share with us, Agnes A.
Hi. Can you hear me?
You sound great.
Okay. Yeah, I'm grateful to be at this meeting this morning, and I'm grateful for the shares I've heard and for those that do service. Yeah, what can I say? you know, he went on a roaring bender, you know. For me, there's never really been a spree that ended all sprees, you know. I just kept on finding, this time I'll do better, you know. This time this diet will be better. This time it worked for this person. You know, if I could only just figure this out and all that stuff. And then I just realized that it's a fatal and progressive disease. There is no bottom, you know. When you think you're at the bottom gets lower. The weight goes higher, you know. Life becomes more manageable. And this is not a a la carte kind of program, you know. Take what you like and leave the rest. I heard this is a spiritual malady and it requires a spiritual solution. And the solution is that we do the 12 steps. We follow what this book says. And you behold, you have a miracle. It has never failed. I'm never going to get control over food. I realize that now. I'm never going to have a defense against that first bite unless I trust this divine power to help me. When I was a religious person, I thought I could be good on my own until I realized that it was grace that helped me to be good. And in OA, I realized that it's divine power that can heal my unmanageability and be my defense against, you know, the insanity of compulsive eating and the obsession that goes with it. There are no two ways about it. Every time I listen to people, they tell me what they did. If I want what they have, I have to do what they do. You know, but again, it's a great thing. It's not a zero-sum equation. It's not like I have to give 100%. I give 10% and God pushes me through the rest of it, you know. And that part is showing up and doing what I'm told and just trusting that if I live today to the best of my ability, trusting God and following this program as best as I can with God doing for me what I can do for myself, you know, then tomorrow will just be another today and the day after and the day after. That's what's so beautiful about this program for me, right? Like it has all these rules, but it's not just dependent on my control and power to get where others have gotten in the vision for you. Yes. So that's what I'm learning day after day after day, that I need God to follow this program. And as then when I follow this program, the food is licked and my life is licked. And I follow, you know, I just accept life on its terms and I have peace that passes all understanding. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. I have time for two-minute shares. Star 6. I mean, star 1 to
Alex
unmute.
Kay.
Alex K. And I think I heard a cat, or is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Alex K. And I'm sorry, Robin, we're not going to have time. So we've got two-minute shares. And Cat T. No, Alex K. And then Cat T. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elaine. Alex Kay in California, compulsive eater. Thanks for being here, everyone. The phrase that God might give him mastery struck me, and I looked up the word mastery, and it says control over something. And that reminds me that only with my higher power's help can I ever have any control over my eating. I can't do it with my willpower, no matter how hard I try. No human power can solve my compulsive eating problem, but my higher power can. And what a relief to surrender and ask for help instead of trying to fight this disease as I did for years. And today I'm not suffering and struggling in my disease. I'm still a compulsive eater, and I always will be, but I don't have to compulsively eat. For today, the food obsession and compulsion has been removed. And I have peace with food. It's really miraculous. And my higher power, relationship with my higher power is the most important thing in my life instead of the food. So grateful I don't have to hurt myself with food today, thanks to this program and my higher power. Thanks, everyone, for being here and helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K. And Kat T., we do have time for a three-minute share for you, then. Please.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you so much, everyone, for your service. This is Kat T., usually in Florida, but I'm in Colorado. Today, I'm actually on my honeymoon, which is never in my life thought I'd say that. Before I came into OA, actually, in Colorado when I was in college. So it's kind of like a homecoming to be back here. And just what stuck out to me in the reading today was just the word problems, because I always thought I was an emotional eater. I could, you know, that was just who I am. And yes, I am a compulsive overeater, but I can't manage it on my own. And, you know, thank God I can go on meetings while I'm, you know, getting married or, you know, on my honeymoon. I can still stay connected to my program because, you know, I'm on vacation, but I'm not on vacation from recovery. You know, every day I'm making sure to have my quiet time. And, you know, yesterday was a hard, just a lot of drama with our Airbnb. So I went outside, sat in the rental car, did some 10 steps. I needed to do some extra writing. I, you know, turned it over to my sponsor and called other people, and I felt a lot more peaceful about it. And because, you know, I'm like the last share, was saying, you know, I'm not hurting myself with food anymore like I did. I had so much pain, and, you know, I still have pain and suffering, but, you know, I have a higher power and a way to get through it. And, you know, I can, and my spirituality is creative. It's not static. It's not, I'm not necessarily a religious person, but I respect and learn from, you know, everyone on this line, you know, everyone's unique spirituality. And so, it's just been a very special week, and, you know, I owe it to you guys, the fellowship, God, OA, Bill and Bob. So I don't have a lot else to say, but I definitely owe my life to this program. And if, you know, I've sometimes feel intimidated sharing on the line because I'm not an expert in the big book, but I don't need to be an expert to just work the program and show up. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Kat T, and congratulations on your marriage. That's awesome. Okay. We will now close meeting with a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you. This is Chanel T. in Washington State, gratefully recovered today by the grace of God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Excuse me. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you, and I pass.